Well, fellow followers of Jesus, it's wonderful to see you all here on this beautiful day. I'm glad to see some of you come back after that horrible weather last week. It was really terrible stuff. It was crazy, isn't it? Our world is just so unpredictable, I guess we'll go with. But we are here now, and the one thing we can predict is that when we are in our Father's house, He will meet us here. He will speak to us through His word. He will come to us through His sacraments. And so let us now turn our hearts toward Him. And let us remember the day that we were brought into the kingdom of God through His gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have called us, Lord, into a relationship with you where we get to follow you, Lord, every day. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we are gathered here today. Help us, Lord, as we read your word, as we sing your songs, as we speak your truths, Lord, and as your truths are spoken to us, Lord, that our faith would continue to grow. Send your spirit to work in our hearts and our minds. Lord, so that we can have a lifelong growing relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let us now confess our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sin to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of our Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing songs of praise in response to all that God has done for us.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Singing.
10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years in and forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name.
How great Thou art. Good morning. My name is Steve Mangrum. I'm filling in for Elder Jeff Rabe, who is feeling under the weather today. First reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 to 26. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. As for in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
The sermon scripture reading for today is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Hello, everyone. How are you all today? You're good. All right. I have a question for you. Do you normally get to make the rules at home or at school? No. Normally your grown-ups do that, right? Grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, teachers. If you were the teacher or the parent for the whole day, what rules would you have? What rule would you have if you were the teacher or parent for the day? Tell everyone to do work so they could learn. Okay. What else? What other rules would you have? Catherine. Make everyone have fun. Have fun. What else? Respect. Okay. Any other rules you would have if you were the teacher or parents today for the day? Georgia, do you have another one? Okay. Good integrity, having people have good integrity. Ava. Extra minutes of recess. There's Liam. Say it again. Okay. Listen. All right. Those are some good ones.
In the scripture reading this morning, it talked about the golden rule. Does anybody know what the golden rule is, Catherine? Yeah, reading the Bible and listening to God is good. Ava? Yes, the golden rule is to treat others how you would like to be treated. Is that always an easy rule to follow? Yes? Sometimes I think it's hard. Also in the scripture reading today, it said, forgive others as you are forgiven. How many of you have siblings? Yeah, most of us have siblings. Is it hard to forgive your sibling when they call you a name or hit you or take your toy or something like that? Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I have brothers too. I'm the youngest. So I had to kind of fight for myself, I guess, sometimes because I had the older brothers. But sometimes I fought back. And do you know how I would feel if I hurt my brothers? I would feel so bad, and I would want more than anything to hear three words. I forgive you. Isn't that an incredible weight when you hear those words, when you've done something bad and you hear those words, I forgive you? That is just the best feeling in the world, and that's what God does for us unconditionally when we come to him and acknowledge our wrong and ask for forgiveness. And so just like it's amazing to hear those words, how does it feel to say those words, I forgive you? Feels like a weight has just been lifted off of your shoulders. Now, Jesus talks about an unmerciful servant. He had a debt so great. He owed so much money. He could work for his entire life, and no matter how much he worked, he could never pay for that debt. And his master forgave him. And that's like how Jesus forgives us. We couldn't work off our sin, but he forgives us. And then that wicked guy, he turned around and he wouldn't forgive a little debt, $20. God says, forgive as you have been forgiven, because that's the way Jesus has forgiven us. Amen? All right, repeat a short prayer after me. Dear Jesus, help me to forgive. Amen.
Text for today. Seems a little strange. I'm just going to say it. All right. I get the first part, you know, I get the first part where it says that we're supposed to love our enemies, right? Because if God loves them, we should love them. And that should be enough, right? So we love our enemies. We do good to them. We pray for them. We give to them what they might need. We do these things, and this makes sense because we're supposed to love. Got that, right? It's not easy. I mean, it's not like they just talked about it. It was not easy. But we can understand that makes sense to me. The second part, or this next part, is where things get a little strange. If somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. Okay, now this seems a little strange. Okay. I don't like the idea of being a doormat. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't seem like a really healthy thing to do. And if you get into this too far, you know, where we no longer protect ourselves, we basically, instead of protecting ourselves when attacked, we expose ourselves, you know, turn the other cheek, expose yourself to more abuse. It seems a little destructive. I mean, it seems like if at some point we're going to get to the point where we're not even like healthy enough to do the things that we need to do, and pretty soon we're going to become a casualty and somebody's going to have to take care of us. But is anybody going to be able to take care of us if all of them are just like opening themselves up for abuse all the time? And then it goes on even more, and it starts talking about our property. If somebody comes to take away your coat, give them your shirt as well. Well, here's the thing, is that it seems like that's like an example that you can extrapolate and make more, like basically your property. So if somebody comes and steals your car, give them your bicycle too. So now you're going to be walking. And if you bump into anybody who needs shoes, you're going to be walking barefoot. This doesn't seem good. Thank God this is actually not the proper reading of the text. So let's get into what this is actually getting at, all right? Works like this. This text is taken out of the Sermon on the Plain. Very closely related to the Sermon on the Mount. Both of them are sort of like the same teaching. Jesus basically, you know, you can imagine that a rabbi going around teaching crowds of people will use the same sermon more than once, right? And so this was very close, like a different version of the same message. And I can appreciate how that goes too, because I remember when we had two services on Sunday morning and the worship team would tease me about how the first sermon was better than the second one, because, you know, they weren't exactly the same sermon because I am not capable of such things. And the thing is that you can appreciate that Jesus might have given the same type, kind of the same sermon, but with some differences as well. So this is the phase of Jesus's ministry where he is bringing new followers into his fold. All right. I mean, the people that are coming to him and they're checking out this new rabbi and they start to be followers of Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, listen, if you're going to be a follower of me, here's how it works. And what Jesus was telling them in this text is this: if you're following me, I want to let you know what I'm doing. I'm following the Father. All right? And at the bottom of this text, it talks about how if we do these things, then we are truly the children of the Most High, right? Because he is merciful, and I love this. He is merciful to the ungrateful and to the wicked. All right? And Jesus wants to introduce these people to what it means to be his follower. And he starts by this. He says this. This basically is how your life used to work, right? This is how the world works. You take care of you, right? If you make good choices, if you work hard, if you are careful with your money, if you raise your children well, if you do all of these things just the way you're supposed to do them, then things will work out for you. And your job is to take care of you and your people and your family and your stuff. You are responsible for you. You got it? So if you do well, who gets credit? You. If you fail, who gets the credit? You. This is how it works, right? It's all about God is bringing us into a different relationship, a totally different way of seeing the world. How about God's way of seeing the world? All right? And remember, at the end of this text, we hear that God is merciful to the ungrateful and the wicked. Well, who would they be? Oh, that would be us. Because here's the thing. If I think that I'm providing for myself, I think that I should get all the credit for the things in my life that are going well, who am I not being grateful to? See a problem there? Thank God, God is merciful to the unthankful, the ungrateful, right? How about this? Wicked. Are you wicked? Well, it depends. Those who are not wicked are the people who are following after God. In other words, if your agenda is in line with God's agenda, then you are not wicked. But if you have your own agenda in life that you like to follow, even if sometimes it is not compatible with God's agenda, that would make you wicked. Thank God that the Father is compassionate and merciful to the ungrateful and the wicked. And one of the things that we're going to learn really fast here is that we not only can't take care of ourselves and provide for ourselves in earthly things, but there's a really big thing that we are unable to do for ourselves, and that is rescue ourselves from sin. Thank God that the Father is merciful to the ungrateful and the wicked. And he is so merciful that he sent his Son into the world, right? And the Son comes into the world, and I want you to look at this text again, only now I want you to look at it in, like, having Jesus' passion in your mind, okay? Love your enemies. Did Jesus love his enemies? Did he do good to those who hated him? Did he bless those who cursed him? Did he pray for those who mistreated him? He did all those things. right? I mean, when Jesus was on the cross, did he show kindness? Yeah. I mean, he took care of his mom and made sure his mom was being cared for. When he was on the cross, did he pray for the people who were persecuting him? Literally said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Literally prayed for them while they were persecuting him, right? Was he kind? Yeah, the thief on the cross, or the criminal on the cross on the one side, right, that said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And how did Jesus respond to him? "Today you will be with me in paradise." Would that qualify as kindness? Yeah, it might. And did he love? Well, the question is this: what kept Jesus on the cross? Roman authority? Nails? And when Jesus was talking to the other criminal on the cross, and that criminal was mocking him, and Jesus told him, he said, "Don't you know? I can talk to my Father in heaven, and he will send more than 12 legions of angels to rescue me." Do you think Jesus had to go through this whole thing? What held him on the cross? Love. And on the cross, he paid the penalty of our sin. He died so that we don't have to. And he gives us new life in his resurrection. And in that new life, now we get to live for him. And this is where the beginning of this lesson really, the context of this reading really sits. It's, "Now that you are my follower." It starts in the beginning. It says, "But you who are listening, you who are following me, you who call me teacher, you who are, you're my disciples," right? "I say to you, love your enemies." So what exactly is Jesus asking them to do? Well, it's this. If we're going to follow Jesus, where did Jesus go? I mean, what was the big finale at the end of Jesus' life? You understand what it means to follow Jesus? When Jesus was living on earth, what he did is he didn't do whatever he wanted all the time. There were times when people would, like, they would ask Jesus for something and Jesus would tell them, "It's not the proper time." Jesus was following the Father's plan. He was living in submission to the Father even while he was on this earth. And we are to follow Jesus, who is following the Father, who is merciful to the wicked. And we follow Jesus, when we follow Jesus, we live as he lived, which means this: the Father wanted to save us. So he sent the Son. The Son had a very difficult job to do. He had to give himself so that all of us can live. And Jesus now invites us into that ministry where we are given the honor of suffering alongside him so that others can live. You understand how this works? So does this mean that we are supposed to, like, allow everybody to take all of our stuff and never protect ourselves and never defend ourselves? Is that what it means? No, what it means is this: you are no longer the center of your life. God is. We fully acknowledge and understand that we are not the ones that provide for us. God is. We understand that we are not able to be in a good relationship with God, but that he rescued us and saved us and gave us faith and gave us this new relationship. And it's all based on him. It's all centered around him. And it's all focused on him and the ministry that he wants to do through us. And that is our new focus in life. At this point, we are just living out the love that we already have received from Jesus, that he suffered and died so that we could be saved, and other people have given up and sacrificed so that we could hear a message, right? So that we could be raised in the faith, so that we could be brought into this relationship with God with all the blessings that we have received, and now we are being invited into that very same relationship. how can I say, honor of sacrificing ourself so that more people can be saved. You understand how this works? It's like this. It's like we get to do God's work. God is inviting us into his plan of salvation. That means that we get to dedicate ourselves to getting this message out. That means that the money that God has given us, do we give some to him? If there's a person out there who is in need and we have the opportunity to bring them into a healthier place, physically, financially, spiritually, relationally, any way like that, and we can give like money or give our time or give a teaching from God's word or give whatever it is that God gives us to give, that is our opportunity to serve. And the thing about it is that when we do these things, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us convenience. It's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us the stuff we would have done with that money, with that time. It's going to cost us something. And the question is, are we following Jesus to the cross? Are we willing? Do we take this ministry that God has given us seriously? Do we understand that he is calling us to sacrifice so that other people can know Jesus and know and also have his peace and have confidence in their eternal salvation, that we are the ones who God is wanting to work through so this next generation, so the people around us who are struggling with different types of struggles of life can be encouraged with God's love and truth. And that when we are in a situation where, you know, somebody is mistreating us and the best way to love them is to not protect ourselves, that we would be willing to do that. That we would be willing that if the best way to love a person is to not protect our property, to not demand something stolen back again, then that's what we do. I can't remember the story, so I'm not going to have to, that one's not going to get told. So this is it then. The thing is this, what Jesus is teaching in this text, is that we are to love. The love that we love is not something that we do on our own. Even the first part of the text, I think so many people get wrong. You know, love your enemies, to do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. I think a lot of times we use that like a to-do list, right? Like this is what we have to do. And that's not what this is about. What it's about is this. It's us loving, us understanding deeply the gift that God has given us in our salvation, that he is our God and we are his people, that he is our provider and that we receive from him, that this, when we fully grasp this relationship, that we then can be his hands and feet in this world and willingly sacrifice whenever God gives us the opportunity to be a blessing to the people that he loves. And so, is this going to be easy? Are we going to mess it up? Thank God that the Father is merciful to the ungrateful and to the wicked, because that's us. But he is merciful. And Jesus died for us. Our sins are forgiven, which is why it is our honor to sacrifice for his mission. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a crazy way you want us to love in this world. Doesn't seem right that somebody should sacrifice to benefit somebody else, but it's what you did and what you call us to do. Lord, I pray that you would give us boldness and opportunities, Lord, and courage and faith so that we can be your people in this world, so that we can be your love bearers. In your name we pray. Amen.
Called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where faith failed. There I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are. Waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail, and you won't start down. And I will call upon. You are mine.
Please let's stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence today. We thank you so much that you have mercy, Lord, on the ungrateful, Lord, and on the wicked, and that you have rescued us from that wickedness, Lord. And Lord, we do give you thanks today, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to draw us into a closer relationship with you. Help, Lord, help grow our faith that trusts, and also, Lord, the faith that is trusted, Lord, so that we are able to better understand and better to take peace and solace, Lord, in the relationship, Lord, that you have created for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we work in the world. Lord, there is so many people who are struggling and suffering and having many different kinds of problems, Lord. We pray for those in California struggling from the after effects of that great big fire, Lord. And we pray for all those who are still living in fear of the flames. Lord, I pray that you would be with those in North Carolina who are still recovering, Lord, from that terrible rain event. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with them. Lord, I pray for those in our congregation and those in our community, Lord, who are struggling with sickness or injuries, Lord. I pray that you would be their strength, Lord, that you would help them and give them peace in their difficulty, Lord. But at the same time, Lord, we pray that you would please heal them and return them to health so that they can continue to serve you, if it is your will. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those who serve us in government, Lord, especially those in the local governments, Lord, our Mayor Flowers, Lord, and the leadership of our city. I pray that you would continue to be with them and help them to make good decisions, Lord, so that your people can live the lives you wish them to have. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our families, Lord. Help the children to be raised in the faith so that they, Lord, will every day learn more about the relationship that you want to have with them and how you've rescued them, Lord, and how you want to work through them in this world. All this we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all knowing, he passed out their son, rolled into
the sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Would wait as we constantly run. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God. And grace, my freedom lost.
to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I
Now that we have received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the strength and the forgiveness that he gives us in this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand as we sing the final song together.
Our hands are lifted high, our hearts are bowing in reverence, and we're surrounded by the glory of your presence. With every creature, every tongue, we're lifting our voice to the glorious one. Glorious One, Glorious One, Light of the world, you outshine the sun. King of all kings, eternity sings, Glorious One. Oh God of carved out the ocean, you hold the universe, and still you run to the broken. With every heart that's been redeemed, we're lifting our song to the glorious King. Sun, he
all kings, eternity sings, glorious one.
Glorious one, light of the world,
you are shining sun, king of all kings, eternity sings, glorious one. Glorious one, Jesus, you're the glorious one.
All right, have a seat, my friends. All right, a few announcements for today. First of all, let's see here. Pickleball. We're starting some fellowship sports around here, which is kind of exciting. And anybody here like pickleball? It's a blast, and we have a nice gym for it, and there's really no reason we're not using it, so we're putting it to work. Anita Thurman is working on this. If you guys look in the announcement section in the bulletin, it's right next to, right above, what, second from the bottom is pickleball. All the information is there. Call Anita if you have any questions. Her phone number is right in there. And she said, we're especially looking for people who already know how to play so that they can help other people learn how to play. I mean, that's going to be part of this. It's fellowship. We're just going to figure it out. All right. The other thing is, let's see here now. Daddy-daughter dance is coming up on March 1st, which is a week away, right? Yeah, a little less. So it's a big fundraiser for the youth who are going to be going on trips. And so we need youth to come. It's kind of an important thing. So if any youth are available, again, it's third from the bottom in the announcement section, all the details and stuff there. Please, if you are wanting to come, let me see, Angie Hummel is the one running that, so you guys can contact her, or you can talk to me if you really want to, and I'll give you her number, because I won't remember. That's how that works. Let's see here. Other than that, I also need to ask Andrew Toysher to come up real quick. He has another fellowship sports event.
Yes, just as Bob was briefly saying, a little bit of fellowship sports coming amongst us. Pastor Josh, I know since he's been here, and Bob as well, trying to get a little fellowship stuff going along with the pickleball. Tuesday nights, we have a men's Bible study. Jake Petrie helps run it. It's fantastic. And right after that, we're starting up a little basketball open gym get-together. So people of all basketball skills, please show up. We had folks that had definitely not played much before at our first event. It's okay if you want cardio, show up, it's great. If you want if you played a little bit more, show up, it's great. It's just a good old time. It starts at 8:30, right after men's Bible study, and we go until we pass out because we're all really old at this point. So please join if you're interested.
If he's old, I'm in trouble. All right. Carla. Carla Bomarito, she's got, no? Pardon me? Oh, next week. Okay, very good. Then we're done with that. All right, with that then, folks, listen, it has been wonderful worshiping with you all this morning. Thanks for putting up with me. I did not sleep much last night. It's just one of those weird things where sometimes your brain doesn't shut off, and it's always has to happen on a Saturday night, though. I don't know. It's just the way life goes. But anyway, folks, blessings on your week, and I'll see you in the back. Bible study is in here after the service. New member class is going to be in the conference room after the service. Sunday school kids, run. What? The funeral. Oh, yes. Well, yes. There is a funeral Saturday. Yeah. I'm sorry. Paul Zeeble, we're having our Paul Zeeble's celebration of life service on Saturday, and I believe it starts at the visitation begins at 9, and then 11 o'clock is the funeral service, and then there'll be a lunch afterward as well. You guys will all be getting an email about that, reminding you about it as well this week. All right, okay. With that, God's blessings on your week, folks.